KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201 DA 88.1 FM King Cove.
The Head and the Heart became one of the breakout bands of the folk rock explosion in the 2010s with this song.
I am lost in my mind. I get lost in my mind.
After 15 years of being a band, they tried something different on their new record, Aperture. All of the band members sharing songwriting duties. It's an idea that Jonathan Russell, the frontman, was initially excited about.
I said, oh, that'll be nice. And then when it happened, I was just like, I hate this.
Wait, really?
I don't know how this is going. Like, I lost my barometer. But honestly, it was a good thing that I did. I mean, this is my favorite record we've ever done.
Today, the Head and the Heart stop by for live performances from Aperture, and the band gets into why they wanted all of the members to raise their hand with new ideas. And as Matt Gervais says, leave some room for imperfection.
It reminds me of the Picasso quote, where it took me my whole lifetime to paint like a child. There's that sort of mentality with regard to knowing when to leave something alone.
It's the Head and the Heart coming up on World Cafe. Before we get into the Head and the Heart, I've been given the opportunity to play one song of my choosing, and I have chosen the National New Order T-shirt. Here it is.
How you tapped on a box of blue American Spears at Anyway Cafe, a little under a month before the ashes and management capital files filled the streets. How we wove through the combs, walking home to the place on Atlantic you shared with your hilarious sister. Kicking off your black flags, demolished and laughing. Second glimpses and snapshots and sounds. You in my new order t-shirt, holding a cat and a glass of beer. When you rescued me from the customs cops in Hawaii, I shut down the place with my Japanese novelty bomb. For a temperature check with the cool of your hand on the back of my neck. And I said, I think I'm finally going crazy for real. I keep what I can of you. Split second glimpses and snapshots and sounds. You and my new order t-shirt, glass of beer. I flicker through. I carry them with me like drugs in a pocket. You in a Kentucky aquarium, talking to a shark in a corner. You in a bath on the phone, telling somebody that maybe they're better off. Cried out the beach and recovered in seconds and said everything's fine, but I knew that it wasn't. Then you stayed out of reach of me for almost a year. How you looked like a poster of a 70s movie, standing outside at the base of your magazine skyscraper, waiting for me to go drinking downtown. I keep what I can of you. Split second glimpses and snapshots and
Welcome one, welcome all. It's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. The head and the heart needed to make a change. 15 years as a band and they'd fallen into a routine. Frontman John Russell had been taking on most of the songwriting duties while other members felt less connected to the music than ever before. So they shook things up. The story of their brand new album, Aperture, is about a band becoming a band again. That meant all hands on deck writing, sharing, and trying new things. Hearing different voices sing a song, different hands penning them. In a moment, Russell, along with Charity Rose Thielen and Matt Gervais, go into why and how they made those changes, and how the result renewed the band's energy. Plus, a bonus today, because it is album release day, we've got an extra live performance. Our session kicks off with one of the new songs from Aperture. It's called Time With My Sins. It's the head and the heart.
Lately I've been spending time with my sins. I feel you worried, who's driving? No one but you will tell me the truth. So I beg you, don't go easy on me. I know you're bending, bending, bending so I can feel free. They'll never do or say a thing to make me agree. I want you to see what you mean to me. I don't wanna break you down or say goodbye to you. From the bright of the morning sunlight in the review where the glass was growing, both hard and bad, with the lonely black dog in the door so the bruises wouldn't show. That's when you said you'd never share the depths of your heart. Like to be close to you.
performing in front of a World Cafe audience, live in studio. It's The Head and the Heart with a performance of Time With My Sins. It's from their new album, Aperture. I am Kaleo. This is World Cafe. The Head and the Heart are my guests. It's so good to see all of you. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. So I know that this is a very collaborative album, and we will get into the how and the why in a minute, but that song, I think, is a great example of it. I know John was having a hard time finishing Time With My Sins, and Maddie, you asked, you know, could you give it a try? I'm kind of curious why you wanted to do that. Is that something that you normally do?
So with this song in particular, we'd attempted it a bunch of times, and there was like one version that was like 19 minutes long, and we couldn't really figure out what to do with it. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to take it home and like see what I can do. And so I took that version and kind of edited it down and then wrote some other parts to it. The start of the song is what John came in with, which is like that wonderful first verse and pre-chorus. And it just sounds so great. It tells such a story, and it's got such an emotion to it that, and him and I actually performed like a kind of semi-improvised version of it at the Connor Burn, like when he was first writing it, in Seattle. And it was fun. It was almost like we were kind of like riding around on railroad tracks, just trying to like stay on the train because we didn't know where it was going. But so there was a great energy. I just remember like a wild look in John's eyes as he was playing the song, and it felt really like such an energy to it. And a story, as I said before, just the story needed to be kind of resolved in some way. And so the second verse just kind of appeared as I was milling about, taking long walks, and same thing with the chorus. It just kind of revealed itself over the course of, you know, a week or so.
I love how that happens. John, what was your reaction when you heard what Maddie had done with it?
Yeah, it took me back at first. I mean, you know, I probably had some very different idea of what the song was supposed to be like, you know. But the truth of the matter is I couldn't really finish it on my own. I think I was too narrow-minded on it. So, yeah, it was helpful.
There's road imagery in it, and there's you know, obviously a relationship that's having some trouble in this song, and trying to find resolution. The first line, I see you worried who's driving, you know, as if this person behind the wheel isn't necessarily in control of themselves. That line in and of itself kind of gave me this idea that this person, you know, isn't in their best self.
Version of self, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. At the time. And so my verse goes back into the car with the rear view mirror. They're still in the car together, and they're kind of having an argument, and they're not wanting to kind of expose the things that they know are going to be hard to hear. And so those are the bruises that we talk about, you know, the emotional traumas that each individual in the relationship had, you know, endured as a result of each other. And so anyways, the song is kind of essentially both people knowing that their intentions are true and pure for each other, but not knowing how to get to that point, you know, because of other darknesses that are there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're just joining us on World Cafe, we're here with The Head and the Heart. They have a new album. It's called Aperture. And in making this record, I don't want to be too overdramatic, but it sounded like kind of blew a lot of things up. John, I read that there was a point during the tour for the last album, Every Shade of Blue, that you realized you needed something to change inside of the band. And then you said the entire songwriting process. Oh, you know, only the songwriting process. That seems like a big thing.
Yeah, start at the point of origin, yeah.
Yeah, how'd you come to that realization?
Yeah, well, you know, the things you don't necessarily think about when you're writing a song, which is the ripple effect, you know, finishing a song with your band, singing it all together, where does it live on the record, who likes the song externally, and then what does it feel like when you play it live on a stage? How is it received? But also, how are the band members, you know, how are we all involved in it?
Sure.
And so we went through some years. You know, we've been doing this all together now for 15 years. So together. So we've gone, you know, like a sine wave. We've gone up and down with you know, our connection and our ability to be vulnerable with one another. And so in the trials of when we were sort of, you know, had a lot of layers of band-aids on our own relationships, you know, the writing changed. And I think towards the end of the example you're talking about, around that time, I think all of us were sort of having this sort of revealing moment of like, if we want to keep doing this, we want to do this all together, you know, which was beautiful. We were all finally there and healthy and connected again. So it was a really like healthy direction turn. And fortunately we were all, you know, kind of on the same page. So that's really the, I don't know.
So the band met that energy with excitement, you know, because maybe you're in a band and you're like, actually, I don't want to write any songs, but it seems like everyone was eager to be involved.
Yeah, this band is founded on everyone writing, you know? Everyone's written something. Everyone's reacted to someone else's writing in this band. You know, there's plenty of examples, even on this record, on every record, really. So, you know, I think we had just sort of, we kind of all got back to wanting to raise our hand at the same time, which is really fun.
Nice. I imagine it also feels good to let go of the reins a little bit in that situation, see what everyone else brings.
You know, what's funny is I said, oh, that'll be nice. And then when it happened, I was just like, I hate this.
Wait, really?
I don't know how this is going. Like, I lost my barometer. But honestly, it was a good thing that I did. I mean, this is my favorite record we've ever done. But I got to be honest, it scared me a little bit because I was used to, like, if I do this, I know if it's good or bad. But if somebody else does it, I can't tell if it's good or bad. It took me a minute. But it was a learning moment for me, a teaching moment.
You're listening to World Cafe. We're talking with The Head and the Heart. The new album is Aperture. We have another song to get into, a new song called Arrow, but it's been out for a little bit. And yo, this is as catchy as it gets. It's a one listen kind of chorus. And I know that a lot of work goes into making a song sound like you hear it the first time and you can sing along. But I kind of want to know about the origin of this. I know everyone worked on it, but John, it seems like it's a very personal song. Is it for you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's something I had laying around, like the I am my own arrow, I am my own home, I move station, I showed up here alone. You know, it was sort of one of these, like, it's funny now, it almost sounds like a tantrum to me now, but you know, when you put it like that, when I sing it like a child. When I wrote it, it was like with conviction. It was sort of like, I don't know, when I sort of felt adrift in the world wasn't, you know, going to do me any favors, and I felt like I was working harder than someone else or whatever, you know, and I was just, it's sort of this belief in yourself that even if you don't know if somebody's going to care, like, keep going, you know. I'm sorry I'm saying that with such disdain. I guess I'm healthier. I've moved beyond it. I still love the song, but I don't need to be that superhero anymore, but someone else might, so I'll play it for them.
Beautiful. We'd love to hear it. It's The Head and the Heart on World Cafe.
You caught me staring off the cliff again. Been looking down on everyone. Wish my goodbyes could be more innocent. But every part just wants to run. I have this deep, deep feeling in my ribs again. I just keep moving on. Like the deep, deep current of the river bend. I have to keep moving on. There's times I need direction. There's times I need to roam. I'm from station to station. I showed up here alone.
Thank you so much.
Massive song from The Head and the Heart called Arrow, recorded live here in studio in front of an audience, in case you couldn't tell by the applause. Coming up, we've got more with The Head and the Heart as they talk about their new album, Aperture, when we get back to World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe, and it is album release day for The Head and the Heart. New record is called Aperture. We continue our conversation with Matt, John, and Charity in just a moment. But first, here's a new song from the record performed live in studio. It's After the Setting Sun from The Head and the Heart.
Expected when you've reached the end, there's a door that opens up after every setting sun, and when you step through it with nothing left to lose, leaving only memories of all the days you filled with love. I'm afraid I don't know how to say goodbye. I will always miss you, never be the same. Yellow sun is rising up, and for the last time shining down on. Setting sun, here comes the setting sun.
Recorded live for World Cafe. It's The Head and the Heart with After the Setting Sun. It's from their new album, Aperture. I'm Kaleo. The Head and the Heart are my guests. You are listening to World Cafe. This is the first record on Verve, but the band wasn't signed when you started working on the album. And I imagine that's been a long time since that was the case. Free of timetables or maybe label expectation, John, did it feel like working on this record was creatively different because there was nothing expected from someone else?
It appears that way. I mean, I think everybody in this band absorbs pressure differently. I think it let the pressure up for quite a few people to just listen to their intuition more, maybe. But I like pressure, to be honest with you. Like, so I kind of, I don't know if it changed a lot for me, but I think it helped a lot. I think it helped a lot, like just making it feel like a ripping a new page out of the notebook. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Sort of the ending of a chapter, the Warner years. So it felt nice. It felt nice to just be like, what do we do now? What do we want to do now? We can do whatever we want, which is always true, but you got to believe that. So, yeah, I think it helped.
I think I'm the exact opposite, you know, from that perspective, which is another beautiful, interesting, I would say, thing about our band, is we have opposing, so much opposition, you know, it makes it interesting. And I really feel creatively being able to get ahead of expectation and pressure feels freeing to me completely. You know, it's like before there's even an idea of another, you know, album that's needed or whatnot, you know, it's like, let's get ahead before there's any deadlines.
Yeah.
And doing it for yourself, and in some ways doing it by yourself, because this is the first fully self-produced record by the band. I mean, you've had other producers in the studio in the past. Was there anything that you kept in your back pocket going forward to work on this record as a group that you sort of picked up over the years?
In terms of like techniques?
Yeah, or? Just sort of like what did you take away from, say, previous producers that you took into this session, knowing that you guys were the ones calling the shots and making decisions?
Sorry, before you... And I was just going to like a mild, I guess, correction to that. Is
sure, please.
The first couple records were, you know, they were co-produced with our engineers, but they're, you know, in the, I'd say the same ethos of being self-produced, but, you know, working with our engineers, kind of co-produced, I guess.
That's great correction. Thank you. Sorry, John, you were going to say something, I think.
Did I take it away?
No, you didn't. I still got it. I was just going to say, you know, one of the things that I guess I picked up from working with some producers is to just trust earlier takes and don't get into that perfectionism brain. Because when you hear everything playing back to you and you're kind of in your lane of what your part was, you're not really listening to the whole sound, and you're like, I could have done that better, and you're not really paying attention to the relationships. It's like the relationship and the chemistry in a take to me is more important than like anyone's part. Just like things like that just come from, you know, producers A, have a lot of experience, and B, have that sort of, they're like the coach, you know, they're not in the band, so they're not as attached, they have that objective perspective, so
distance.
It's not perfect, obviously, but just kind of trying to apply that. And I think we all did a much better job of that on this record, is just trying to leave in some of the human imperfections, you know, and just like really trusting that this feels good. It's not perfect, but that, you know, maybe is better.
Yeah, I remember some musician used to talk about the difference between an accident and a mistake. And it's like, we fix mistakes, but if accidents like feel like the right performance, we're the only ones who are going to hear maybe that, you know, minute little detail. So is that letting go of some of the perfectionism? Is that something that has, not letting go, but is that sort of always been the attitude of the band, sort of take the pure take maybe over the technically perfect one?
I just think it takes time. I think it takes like everyone. I think we've gotten better with that over time.
It reminds me of the Picasso quote, the famous quote where it took me my whole lifetime to paint like a child. It definitely, there's that sort of mentality with regard to what we do as well, knowing when to leave something alone.
This is World Cafe. We're here with The Head and the Heart. Their new album is called Aperture. And the last time I had the chance to speak with you, we were all on stage talking about Living Mirage. It was 2019, and I think it's fair to say that even if you're a casual fan, you'll notice a difference in the sonics between, say, your last two records and this one, and say some of your earlier records. And I am just curious, like, what prompted, what motivated that? Was there something driving at it, or did it just start with the songs? And we just said, now we got songs that sound quite a bit different than what we were doing in 2019.
No, that was another. I mean, maybe a little bit of both, but I remember being pretty intentional. Like Arrow was one of the earlier songs we had, and I remember really wanting to try and resist doubling things. So like in the studio, you know, you'll be like this guitar, like, oh, here's the guitar part, and you would have a microphone and you would record it. But like a lot of studio tricks, you'll do it again and you'll double it. You put one on the left, one on the right. It makes the sound bigger. And like on this record, we really tried to like, what would it sound like live? Well, it wouldn't sound like a Tom Petty record because there's only one of the guitars. So we really tried to, which I love Tom Petty and his records, but in this instance, we were trying to get back to like our first record almost accidentally. You know, it sounds really raw. We didn't know anything about recording music yet, and we still are learning, of course, but so we kind of intentionally set a tone of like, let's put some restrictions on ourselves, you know, like the more skill or success or, you know, if you can afford to be in a studio longer, that can become your worst enemy. You know, if like,
sure.
Restrictions are really like help art. I think they help, like the confinements, I think, help you have more of a vision. And sometimes you have to like implement them yourself. So we kind of tried to do that, I think.
Were there any like hard and fast rules?
I mean, I'm trying to just get it back to like being a band in a room. You know, can we pull this off live, or do we need, you know, bells and whistles?
Right.
And it also helps you shape your songwriting. It's like you can kind of pick the weak points out. If this is only working because we've got all these things happening, then maybe the song could get tightened up a little bit. But also, you know, we came from the last record, Every Shade of Blue, where we were forced to sort of create remotely. And so we were all using computers. We were recording instruments, but we were recording ourselves in our individual homes or apartments, and you're recording to a click because you have to. So we really wanted to get back to like just being like reacting to one another. And I think it created this resonance where it felt good to like not layer that, not like dampen that down with another. Like just the one is good.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
It's World Cafe. We're here at The Head and the Heart. Let's get to some more new music. And next song is called Beg, Steal, Borrow. And Maddie's going to handle this one alone on piano. It's Maddie from The Head and the Heart.
Yeah.
Maddie Gervais of The Head and the Heart with the solo performance of Beg, Steal, Borrow. It's a song from the new album, Aperture. The Head and the Heart are my guest. This is World Cafe. That was really sweet. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah. I get freaked out doing that kind of stuff, so.
Well, then, did you know the next one's solo, too? We got a triangle and... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, give me a solo triangle performance any day. I'll do that for sure.
Fair enough.
I need a 2-2, though.
We have one more song to get to today, Rivers and Roads. Going back to 2011 for this one, what's this song mean to you today in 2025? Guess it's you, John.
You know, sometimes it takes that long for a song, for you to give a song away and really enjoy it being the ownership being with the audience. It took me some time to really enjoy that.
So it was like you were very protective.
Yeah,
of
not
it?
This one necessarily. Like there's some other ones where I used to play it, you know, and this is the early days. But you'd come out and you'd go out, you know, somewhere out after the show, and someone would tell you what they think the song is about, and I was just like, well, that's not what it's about. It's about this. It's about me, okay? You know, which is funny to say out loud, but that's truly what I believed, you know, back then. So it feels great, like this next song we're about to do, you know, this is, I feel like they're singing to me usually. Like it, I just kind of, I feel like maybe a little bit of a conductor or something, but it's nice to just give a song away, you know, and it comes back to you. And we're very lucky to have a song with a shelf life where people continue to connect to it and the numbers build and more people are singing it back to you. So it's an honor.
That's beautiful. We'd love to hear it. It's The Head and the Heart.
It's song is called Rivers and Roads.
Performing Rivers and Roads, is from their 2011 album. It's The Head and the Heart. They have a new record. It is called Aperture. They've been my guests today. I want to thank Chris, Charity, John, Kenny, Maddie, and Tyler. Thank you all so much for being here. It was a blast.
Thank you, Stephen.
We got it.
Thank you all. Thank you.
And we're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I am Kaleo. Thanks again to The Head and the Heart. New album available now called Aperture. If you missed any of the interview, you can find it at worldcafe.org. Hat tip to our senior producer, Kimberly Junod, for her work on the session. Let's get back into it, folks, with Shelby Lynn. Gotta get back.
control me. Why is this airplane go so slowly? Flutter faster, take me home to you.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sand Point, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sand Point Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Schumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sand Point, on the web at www.schumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Schumigan Corporation. Hometown values and service a proud sponsor of KSDP.